Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we praise you today, and we thank you with all of our hearts. You're our God, and we are pleased and blessed and thrilled at your presence and what you're doing right now in our nation and throughout the earth. And we praise you for it. We open our hearts and minds today for revelation from heaven. In Jesus' name we receive it, and we bless you, sir. Amen. Join me again today in welcoming Brother David Barton. David,
hey,
bless your heart, man. I tell you, we're in it.
Yeah.
We are absolutely in it.
That's right.
We've talked about it for a lot of years, and we knew it was right at hand, but it's here. And I was coming out of the dressing room this morning, and the Lord reminded me of what He said to Brother Jerry Savelle last October. This was on the 18th of October of 2014. Jerry was in his study, and it was, he described it like this. He says one of the most supernatural things ever happened to him. He said he's praising God and worshiping God, and he just picked up his pen and began to write. And he said it just flowed. He wasn't having to think about that and then write that down. God just supernaturally brought, and he just stopped and read it. And listen to this. Experiencing the greater glory is still my plan. You'll see the great I Am shall visit your land. Manifestations of my Spirit as never before, and demonstrations of my power from shore to shore. Supernatural provision and greater breakthroughs too. Yes, this is my plan and my will for you. Amen. The powers of darkness will no longer stand. I'll show them the strength of my right hand. I'll have my way, and all shall see no power is greater nor equal to me. My people will rise up and take their place, and no enemy will stop them from finishing their race. Yes, 2015, you'll surely see, will be a year that will go down in history. So, lift up your hands and boldly decree, something great is happening to me. Glory to God. Do that. Yeah. Just raise your hand and boldly decree, something great is happening to me. Now, right now, praise God. Now then, he said, and then the Lord said, the year of 2015 will be known as the year of visitations, manifestations, and demonstrations of the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Well, now, just a few days after that, well, a few weeks would be more accurate, Gloria and I had, we go up to our place right at the end of the year, and we pray and we seek God, and we get ready for the coming year.
Yep.
And we'd just gotten up there, and we have our two chairs, and we sit there and pray and preach to one another. You know, we got our two right in front of the fireplace, and that, of course, that's always in the winter, and up there in the mountains, it's already cold up there. And man, I'm telling you, you talk about visitations. We have had some really, really startling things several times. I'd say at least over the years, three or four very notable visitations of the Lord while we were doing it. Well, I read that. I don't remember whether I read it that. I believe I read it that morning because I read it every day. And I'm sure of it. Anyway, he said, if you want to see 2015, then look at Exodus 34:10. So, and he said, behold, I make a covenant. Well, I just stopped right there. I said, okay, I enter into this covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do marvels such has not been done before in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with you. Now, the word terrible there now is not like disastrous. No, no, no. Other translations say awesome display of power. If you were standing right out there next to that that space shuttle as that thing takes off, you think, that's terrible, man. I mean, it almost strikes terror in your being. It's so, it's magnificent, it's big, it's powerful. And that's the way he used the word. Now, to the unbeliever, it's stark
fearsome.
Terror.
Fearsome.
Because it's God, and that's right. they know it.
Yep.
And he said, this is coming to pass. And it's coming to pass right now. Well, then I was watching EMIC, our church here, Eagle Mountain International, and George was preaching, and he read Acts chapter 4, and all of this just folded in there together, David, and he read where they prayed the word of God. Being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. And they threatened them and all of that. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and they started with Scripture. They prayed the word. Mm-hmm. Don't start with the problem if you're going to pray. Start with the answer. Spend the time to go to the Word of God and find the promises that cover your situation, and then that's the prayer and the answer. Mm-hmm. That's what they did. And, Lord, behold their threatenings, grant unto, this is the 29th verse now of Acts chapter 4, with all boldness they may speak the word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. The word of the Lord came to me at that moment, and I wrote it down as it happened. And he said, I wrote down, George read Acts 4:29 and 30, the prayer that brought great grace upon them all. Suddenly, I saw a renewed call to the healing ministry. I receive it now in Jesus' name, and I dated it and timed it. And then later on that night, I went to bed. God started talking to me about manifestation of the gifts of healings and working of miracles and special faith and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And I just lay there worshiping God. And I saw what was happening. I've been in the healing ministry ever since I was at ORU when God brought me into that. But it renewed, David. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my goodness, it's like it was while I was there at ORU, standing right there next to Brother Roberts laying hands on people. Only this time, as it stirred my inner being, I began to realize this is not just me. Mm-hmm. This is happening all over the body of Christ, man. He's stirring us up. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're there.
And there's some interesting decisions that come with that, because in you going over that word that Jerry had and then what George said and then what the Lord told you, part of what he said 2015, he's going to visit the land. He's going to have visitations here. He's going to do some restoration stuff. And as you were saying that, I was reminded of the book of Nehemiah, because Nehemiah is a book of restoration. They'd been great, and then everything's kind of going, it's all screwed up and going the wrong direction. Now they get it back. But in chapter, and all that was a covenant he had with them. He told them, I'm going to put you in the wilderness for 70 years, and the Cyrus is going to bring you out, and he's going to restore all this. And so they've been through 70 years of bondage, and they had everything comes from living in a Babylonian empire and all the unhappy pleasantness. And then they get there, and they see that God's starting to move, and they start looking at what they've got to do. And they're telling him, wait a minute, these 100-ton stones, you want us lifting them 70 feet in the air?
What? We can't do this.
And I would say even with cranes we got today, it would have been really tough. But they're looking at the entire wall that's been knocked down. And it's interesting because God had spoken the word through Jeremiah about Cyrus and then Darius and the others. It's interesting, Nehemiah took hold of that word. And in the last part of chapter 2, after he'd gone around, he had all the leaders, he said, guys, here's what God's up to. And they said, ain't no way we can do this. And I love what he said the last part of chapter 2. He said, these walls are going back up. And if you choose to participate in, you'll live inside the walls when they're back up. If you won't join into this, you'll live on the outside of these walls when they go back up.
That's always true, David.
You make a choice whether you want to be part of that covenant.
You're going to be in it. Or out of.
Do you want to get where God's going, even though that looks pretty wacky? You know, I mean, and we're talking about the only people the Babylonians let come back were the dregs of society, the slaves. They kept the good guy. Daniel and all those guys didn't come back. They're still over there because they're the leaders and they're the smart guys and they're the scientists.
Now, don't you know they're thinking, man, God knows. Don't he know we can't do this?
Exactly right.
Doesn't he know we're old and wore out? And doesn't he know that we're the dummies? They kept all the smart ones there that know how to do this. He knows that. That doesn't bother
and
him,
and that's
David.
Where you got to get a different vision of the way you think and see things.
If
you don't see it the way God sees it, you don't get to participate in what God's got going on. And so when you look at that wall, if you say, and this is what I love about what happened with the wall in Nehemiah. They accepted it, they received it, or a lot of them did, said, we're going to be part of this, and Sanballat, Geshem, Tobiah. They didn't, you know, they're not into it. But you look at rebuilding the walls, at who, and we're not talking figuratively here, we're talking physically rebuilding the walls, rebuilding the gates, erecting those huge gates back up that weigh tons, putting those stones back up 70 feet high. So they're doing this, and you look at who's doing it, and it's really interesting. There's a jeweler laying stones. There's a man and his daughters laying stones. There's a perfume maker laying stones. There's an apothecary laying stones. And you got to say, you know, I don't think I'm quite skilled. I haven't been trained for this. But these guys got into it and started doing it. And because they were willing to get in and learn something new and do something new.
You just said it right there.
Makes all the difference. You want to participate in this, you're not equipped for it. Great, go learn something new. Get out and make your mind up. I'm going to be part of it. I don't know how to do it yet, but I'm going to figure out how to do it.
Hey, doesn't that take us back where we started last week in Deuteronomy 39?
Absolutely does.
Let's look at that. Because this is the key.
That's right.
It's the key to life. I don't care what you're doing. Even if you have the idea, you know what? I'm almost ready to retire. I'm tired, and I really just don't want to get involved with a whole lot anymore. I'm looking forward to just sitting on the back porch for a while.
Yeah.
Well, now wait a minute. Are you sure you want to do that? You need to sit back and take another look at that. Repeat the statistics that you and I were talking about this morning, and you had some actual facts about that.
First off, let's just make it real clear, and we can talk about it later in the week. Retirement is not a biblical concept.
No, it is not.
That is a pagan concept that comes from the Babylonian system. If you want to live in Egypt, you want to live in Babylon, great, retire. God's people... that is not a model, so we can talk about that. But one of the great indications that something is not part of what God wants is the fruit that accompanies it. And one of the things I've always believed is Deuteronomy 6:24. He says, everything I tell you is for your benefit, that you can enjoy a long life, yes, that you can prosper. And so if we see something in the way of statistics or science that shows that we don't have a long life, that will diminish our life, then we know that's not part of what God wanted us to
do. And there's a reason behind it.
And there's a reason behind it. And the statistics indicate that whatever that is not God's plan for you, because what He plans for you is long life, prosperity, etc. So when you see something that diminishes your life, here's the deal. Insurance actuaries, as of just a few months ago, talking to a minister you and I really know well, and he had just checked with the insurance actuaries again. I checked on it about 10 years ago, and it was this way, still this way now, 10 years later. The average length of time that a person lives after they retire is 2.4 years. Because what they do is, I am so looking forward to quitting and doing nothing. I am so looking forward to finally having... Your body says, oh, you want to do nothing? Great, let's just shut down.
Let's just quit.
Let's just quit, yeah. And so God did not design us for retirement. He did not design us to quit being productive. And when you start doing things that go contrary to what He designed us for, it always gets bad results. And so the statistics are there that God did not design us for retirement. You find people that keep working until they're 95 years old and they're still living at 95 years old and they're still being productive.
We're not saying to refuse the retirement that you have put aside and so forth. No, and it may come the time
where
you're ready to retire from that job. But hey, the best job is still out in front of you.
That's right. That's right.
And what God did with me that I was talking about there a while ago, hey, it started affecting my physical body.
That's right.
And instead of beginning to pull out of ministry, no, when God says for you to do something, that qualifies you to do it.
That's right.
And when you agree to it, it empowers you to do it. Spirit, soul, body, and financial.
That's right.
And that's a big thing.
It's like Sarah having kids when she's well past the age of childbearing. If God tells you you're going to do it, you just get your mind made up to it that we're going to do this.
We're going to do this.
We're going to take care of
this. And we're going to do it His way.
That's right.
And we're going to have fun at it.
That's right.
Because I don't care.
And that's why retirement is so bad, because you're saying, I quit. I'm disengaging. You can't do that. God did not design you to quit.
No.
He did not design you to not do part of His will. And His will is not sitting around on your tail and doing nothing. And when you do, you'll die.
When you get into that, when you get into His flow and things start happening and you know it's God, it gets fun.
That's right.
God calls you to do things you never had any idea you
That's
would
right.
ever do. Now, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. No, you don't have any excuse. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life, that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice. Well, now, David, if you're going to obey His voice, He's going to have to speak to you.
That's right.
So, hey, that's fun in itself.
Let Him talk to you.
Let Him talk to you.
Yeah.
And that you may cleave unto Him, for He is your life, and He is the length of your days. Now, look at that. God has chosen to bless you. He's made His choice. He has chosen to bless you. He has chosen to be your God. He has chosen to speak with you. He has chosen to make Himself available to cling to you as you cling to Him. He has chosen to be your life and the length of your days. So now you choose. Lord, I choose to believe this. Now, we read this. If my people, which are called by my name, 2 Chronicles 7:14, didn't say the whole nation, those called by His name.
That's right.
And using the Sodom and Gomorrah model, as God dealt with Abraham and Abraham dealt with God, God said He would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous people.
Yeah.
So we're talking, hey, in God, this is doable.
That's right. That's right.
Now.
And he's already said that he's going to do it.
Yeah. Hey.
And so why not jump on board with the freight train that's leaving the station? Let's get on this thing.
That's the whole thing.
That's
right
it. I'm going to choose to jump on board.
It's going to take place.
It's going to take place. And I'm going to choose to be part of it. I want to live inside the walls, not outside the walls.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be part of it, but that's our choice. Choose.
Choose
to dwell in the land. Choose the life. Choose for you and your seed.
David, this is what Jesus preached. They had heard the law and they had heard the curse. He came in preaching the blessing. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captive. So captive, choose. You can either choose the curse and get up and leave, or you can choose me. I'm here.
Yeah.
And everybody that chose him got healed. Everybody that chose him broke the power of bondage around them. So he's preaching this same scripture in Deuteronomy because God sent the life himself. Mm-hmm. He's saying, blind man, you don't have to be blind anymore. Because your eyesight is in me.
And you remember how many people didn't get the blessing because they said, this guy's been among us, we know him, and they wouldn't choose to take what he had said. And so it said there were many places he couldn't do many mighty works among
them. Didn't say he wouldn't.
It didn't say he wouldn't.
It said he couldn't.
Couldn't. Because they wouldn't choose. He was capable of doing it. He had been doing it. He has a track record of it, but they wouldn't choose. Guess what? They didn't get the blessings. They didn't make that choice.
He said that if they'll humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land, and my eyes will be open and my ears attend to their prayers. I choose to believe this.
And choose to participate in it.
Yes, I do.
That's the covenant he made. He said, if you'll do this, I'll do this.
Lord.
That's right.
I'll be a part of this.
I'm going to be an active participant. I'm not an observer in this. I'm going to actively get up and get into this thing. That's a choice I make.
Amen. Glory to God. Oh, man. And hey, we didn't even get to the good stuff today.
We didn't get where we're going. That's right.
Oh, Brother David and I will be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.